Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study titled The Church Age Parenthesis. We begin in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, and the purpose of this study is to introduce or review this biblical reality that the church is a parenthesis between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy found in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. To some of you, this may be brand new, and to others, it will be a review. But we will see that this parenthesis is sometimes represented by a simple colon or a comma or period, and sometimes just a single verse in nearly a dozen other biblical passages, including one that's demonstrated by the Lord Jesus himself in the Gospel of Luke. So as you listen, if you wish to send comments, questions, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send your letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of the church age parenthesis. We begin in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, and this is part 1 of 2.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for a good group this morning here, and we pray for those who couldn't make it in. We're thankful for those who are able to watch online, those who will watch later on or watch or listen on the radio. And we're thankful for all the folks who are learning your book and also being motivated to preach the gospel, to go out with gospel tracts and hand those out. We're thankful for the testimonies we hear from our online family as well as here locally, taking the time to go out and get the gospel out, redeeming the time for the days are evil. And Lord, we just pray that you continue to help us to learn and to grow with whatever time we're here, whether it's a day, a year, or a decade. We want to be growing closer to you. I believe if we're not going forward, we're going backward. And we just pray, Lord, that everyone will be moving forward in their relationship with you, serving you out of love. And as we study, Lord, the Holy Spirit would teach us the words that he's given us in this book. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, our study is the church age parenthesis. We're taking a week away from the book of Ephesians, although in Ephesians and in Daniel, this study is important for you to get and to relate to your studies in Ephesians and Daniel. And I always tell folks, we do topical messages whenever we have something that we need to teach that's related to our expository studies. And what we don't do is constantly have topical studies where I come in and browbeat you about what I think you ought to do. And that's between you and the Holy Spirit. I'm not up here to be the Holy Spirit for you. I'm here to teach the Word of God. And we're going to begin in 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 10 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. As we start in our study of the church age parenthesis. So if you would read beginning in verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Real Bible believers desire to learn the Word. Amen? I said a moment ago, is what we avoid is having topical sermons where I get up here and tell you exactly, you know, what you ought to wear, what you ought to be listening to. And you should be here every time the door is open. and you should be giving, and you should be preaching the gospel, and you should this, and you should that. And there's people who go, and week after week, that's all they ever hear.
Yeah, that's right.
And you could go to those churches for decades, and you'll be as ignorant as you were when you first started if you rely on that kind of nonsense coming from the pulpits today. And I say that because I'm talking about the professing Bible-believing churches today. I'm not talking about the liberals who will tell you they don't believe in the Bible. We expect them to preach whatever, you know, they don't believe the Bible. I'm talking about churches that claim to believe the Bible and they don't teach it to their people. And I want you to understand what you've got here at Bible Believers Fellowship and to pray for these people. We have people all over the place who watch our services and watch or listen on the radio even locally because their church doesn't teach the Bible. And there's a famine for the hearing of the Word of God today. And I was telling Jenny, somebody came up to me one time and says, "Well, you know what? I need that sometimes. I need a preacher to tell me this and that and this and that." And I said, "No, you don't." He said, "Yes, I do. I need that. If I don't, I find myself going off." I said, "No, see, what you're doing is you're pawning off your own conscience and asking a pastor to be the Holy Spirit in your life."
I
want to tell you something. If you need me to stand up here and tell you that you ought to dress right, dress modest, if you need me to tell you you need to contribute to the Lord's work, if you need me to stand up here and tell you you shouldn't listen to sex music, if you need me to tell you to turn off the sodomite TV programming, it's because you're a spiritual infant.
Yeah.
What you need to do is grow up so that you and Jesus walk together. And you have a sensitive conscience so that when you're doing something you shouldn't do, you don't need Pastor Greg to point it out to you.
Amen.
I'm not going to be around most of the time. You need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit to be your guide and your teacher.
Amen.
And that relates to what we're talking about because what you're hearing this morning is contradicted in a lot of churches and people believe it. Because they don't test this, the word that's being taught from the pulpit by the Scripture.
Amen.
One thing is clear about the Old Testament prophets, they did not understand the church age.
Amen.
If you've been taught that the Old Testament prophets understood what we're doing now, you've been taught falsely.
Amen.
They didn't understand the church age. It says in verse 10, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently." How many of you heard what's called the mountaintops of prophecy?
Yeah. Amen.
That's a way of kind of giving you the picture that the prophets saw the mountaintops, but there's the valleys they didn't see. And this church age is a valley that they didn't see.
Amen.
They saw the mountaintops. They saw the first advent. They saw the second advent. But what was in between there, they weren't clear on.
Amen.
Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. But they didn't understand all that. One of the most absurd man-made doctrines around is the claim that Old Testament saints were saved exactly the way we are today.
Amen.
It's absurd. Jesus, when He walked on the earth, they didn't have any idea what He was talking about even when He talked about it openly and laid it out. He told them, "I'm going to be crucified. I will be buried and I'll rise again." And they said, "I wonder what He's talking about. He's the Messiah. He's going to come and conquer the world. What's this stuff about this, crucified, buried? What's that? Where's that? I don't get it." He's obviously trying to teach us some spiritual truth. Let's all dance and speak in tongues, and maybe He'll give it to us. No, what they should have done is open up a Bible. Jesus said, "Ye do err." Why? Not knowing the Scriptures.
Amen.
And today, everybody, it's like a big playpen. And people won't grow up and just open the book and realize God gave us the Word. Now let's learn it. They'd rather be entertained. They'd rather run around acting like they're crazy. It says, "Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." They prophesied about it. They had no concept of salvation by grace. They didn't understand what this was all about. Listen, folks, nobody in the Old Testament was born again, baptized into the body of Christ, and sealed under the day of redemption.
Amen.
Nobody.
Amen.
And to claim that they were is anti-Bible.
Amen.
It's against the Scripture.
Right.
But most preachers today in fundamental pulpits will preach that nonsense.
Right.
They stand against the Word of God and make stuff up. It's traditions of men.
Right. Amen.
John 1:17 tells you plainly, for the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by who?
Jesus
Christ. Well, but Moses was saved by grace, right? He had no idea. He was the lawgiver, humanly speaking, who brought the tutor. We studied in the book of Galatians that the law was your tutor. The law said, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. The law gave you the rules, and then when you broke those rules, you learned something. That's what a tutor does. You know that? Tutors teach you something. What did the law teach us? We need saved.
Amen.
That's what the law taught us. And He also gave them the feasts. And the first feast was Passover. And they would take a spotless lamb, and they would shed the blood of that lamb. And God told His people, you put that blood over the doorpost. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Amen.
And anyone without the blood died.
Amen.
They had no idea that was talking about Jesus.
Nope.
They had no idea. They just knew they needed to do that or die. But you have preachers stand up there trying to make you believe that the Jews at the time of the Exodus put the blood over the doorpost saying, oh, I can't wait till Jesus comes and dies on a cross and sheds His blood and is buried and raises again the third day and we can all have Easter Sunday. It's nonsense. Didn't happen.
Amen.
But what? They believed God.
Amen.
And it was counted unto them for righteousness. Doesn't say they believed the gospel. They believed God. Their gospel was different than our gospel.
Amen.
It doesn't say they believed the gospel of grace. They believed the gospel that was preached unto them, which was put the blood over the doorpost and you live. The people during the time of the flood believed the gospel that was preached unto them. Get on the ark, if you saved. And He had a whole seven people believe it. What happened to the rest of them? They died. Noah was not out there preaching, about 2,000 years from now, Jesus is going to come and die for your sins and be buried and rose again. Then if you believe, you'll be saved. You didn't preach that.
Amen.
And yet you got nonsense being preached in the pulpits pretending that that's what people believed at the time of the flood.
Yeah.
Didn't happen.
Amen.
The church age and salvation by grace through faith was unknown to the Old Testament prophets, but we can recognize these things with historical hindsight and biblical insight.
Amen.
You see, we understand it because we have a few things up on those folks.
Amen.
And you say, well, I would have loved to have been a prophet. Really?
No.
You know what that meant if you was a prophet? Most of your brethren hated you.
Yep.
And most of them got stoned to death.
Yep.
They were ostracized.
Yep.
They were poor. And sometimes God told him to run around naked.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it meant to be a prophet. Now, I'm thankful I'm not an Old Testament prophet. And we've got not only the fact that we're not being told to run around naked, and trust me, you all can say amen about that,
amen.
But we've also got the Holy Spirit in us revealing to us what they spoke as Old Testament prophets.
Yep.
The old is in the new revealed. The new is in the old concealed.
Yep.
So when you read the old, the new is concealed in there. But now we have the entire New Testament, and now we have the Holy Spirit in us revealing the Old Testament. There's a picture. There's a picture of what basically the prophets didn't have a full grasp of. Especially this thing right here. They did not understand all this right here. Do you realize Daniel prophesied the 70 weeks, but he didn't understand it.
Amen.
He didn't understand what all that was all about. There were times where Daniel would prophesy and it said he just made him sick. He actually got ill because he didn't understand it all. And there were some things then God would reveal and other things He left unrevealed. And the angel said, seal it up. You get that? Daniel 12?
Amen.
He was told, seal it up until the last day, Daniel.
Yep.
Daniel was left not understanding all the stuff he prophesied. And so you have these dispensations. And the Bible lays it out just like that. And people say, well, that's an invention of the 18th century and Darby and blah, blah, blah. I got to tell you something. You have to understand something. Until about the 16th century, not only did the believers not understand dispensations, they didn't understand the gospel.
Yeah.
There were people saved because they believed. There were people who understood they were lost and they repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But it wasn't because of what was being preached. It was in spite of it.
Right.
Yeah. You read your history, you'll find out in most places for about 1,000 years, even where they had a church, the priests didn't even preach. And the people were illiterate. They learned the gospel by looking at the pictures painted. And once in a while, God would raise up men, like in the book of Judges during that period of time, and they would go around and they would preach, and they'd preach the gospel, and they'd preach the gospel, and then a pope would get enough of it and he'd kill them.
Yeah.
But God had a remnant through that whole thing. And they were people saved. But as far as understanding the gospel, understanding what the church was, even the people who were saved during that time, called the Dark Ages, they thought that the church was the building and that they thought that the Pope was actually God on earth.
Yeah.
And he was like Jesus.
Yeah.
And still today, good Roman Catholics still believe that, by the way.
Yeah.
Why? Because they don't believe the Bible.
Yeah.
As soon as you believe the Bible, all the superstition gets out the window.
Yeah.
And so the idea, the fact that most Christians didn't understand this until about 300 or 400 years ago doesn't prove anything. It's just a fact of history.
Yeah. Yep.
And Daniel said, see, get back to Daniel 12. Daniel was given this prophecy, actually, that in the last days we would understand it better.
Yeah.
So the fact of us understanding these dispensations more and more as we get closer to the second coming of Christ is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy.
Amen.
And people who fight that are fighting God, just like the people who fight the fact that the Jews are back in the land right before the time of the end.
Yep.
You fight that, you're fighting God.
Yep.
Do we believe Jews need to be saved? Yes.
Yeah.
Do we believe we should preach the gospel to the Jews? Yes.
Yeah.
But do we believe what the Bible says, that there is going to be a nation of Jews in Israel in the last day? In unbelief.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. And at the very end of the tribulation, the one third that survive will not be saying, oh, praise Jesus, our Messiah is here. No. It says they'll look upon Him whom they pierced and they'll mourn.
Yeah.
So you listen to any of these guys saying this stuff that I just told you about dispensations, turn them off. They're ignorant.
Amen.
And they're blind leaders of the blind.
Yep.
And they'll lead you right into a ditch. And that's John Piper. That's R.C. Sproul.
Yep.
That's Stephen Anderson, the
Amen.
Kook that's making all these videos against the Jews in Israel and attacking Sam Gibb. All these guys, Mike Hogger, all of them are nuts. And they shouldn't be teaching the Bible because they don't even understand it themselves.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Daniel provides the framework for the church age as a parenthesis in his 70 weeks prophecy. Let's look at it. Daniel 9, 24 to 27. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. I want you to see this. And we're going to look at a few of these examples. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. And I might go a little fast for some of you, but I hope not. But I want to get through a few of these. You know, I got the preaching, and then I lose track of time. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. That's what I just showed you in the chart. There's 70 weeks. And he tells you what this time frame consists of. He says, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. That's basically the whole game plan of God. The comma, if you look in your Bible, the comma after the word iniquity represents the church age. A comma.
Yeah.
This is the 70 weeks. And he said after 69 weeks, Messiah would be cut off.
Yeah.
Comma. Then the rest. And that picks up here. We're living in this comma right here.
Amen.
Don't tell me the Bible's not an amazing book. That's it. Says in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And that's what we got here. This is 69 weeks and the 70th week. To finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity. That's what Jesus did on the cross.
Amen.
Comma. And to bring in everlasting righteousness hasn't happened yet.
Amen.
So in between Him taking care of sin, and Him bringing in everlasting righteousness, you have this, and that's you right there.
Amen.
You're that teeny weeny little thing right there. Say the Bible is amazing.
Amazing.
Oh, come on, that's pathetic.
The Bible
is amazing.
Amazing.
I couldn't let that stand. Sound like Droopy.
The Bible is amazing. You know what? That makes me mad.
And this is shown again in the next two verses. Verse 25 says, know therefore and understand that, and this is telling you what the 70 weeks, you date it from one thing to another, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, not just the temple itself, but Jerusalem, unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, that's 69. Weeks is a reference to years, 7 years. So you take 69 times 7, and you get 483 years. That's how you know how long that's going to be. If you do the math, from the time that this commandment to restore Jerusalem was given by Artaxerxes, and that's what we got. Let me see if I did I put it back up there. Let me show it again. If you take it and you count it up, beginning in 445 B.C., you count 69 weeks of 7 years, you land at the time of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. There is no book on earth like that, folks. And let me tell you, and because of that, they attacked the book of Daniel relentlessly to try to convince you that it was written. Here's the funny thing. Is some of them will say it was written about 125 B.C. That doesn't matter. That still means it was written 125 years before Jesus came and fulfilled the prophecy.
Right.
But that's why they do that, to try to discredit the book of Daniel. Why? Because they're evil.
Amen.
They're wicked. It says in back to verse 25, and three after the 69 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. After, it says, and after 62 weeks, that's the second segment, which is the end of the 69 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. And that's when Jesus died, at the end of that 69 weeks. And the people of the prince that shall come, which is Rome, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. What's that telling you? That's telling you that it was Rome that destroyed the city in 70 AD after the Messiah was cut off, and it will be Rome from where your Antichrist will show up.
Amen.
That's what it says.
Yep.
People don't want to believe that because of the ecumenical movement, and everybody loves the Pope. But I'm not saying it's Francis. I'm saying whoever the last Pope is the Antichrist.
Amen.
And every Pope is an Antichrist.
Amen.
Every Pope claims to be the vicar of Christ.
Right.
He's the Antichrist. At this time, he's the top. And he allows people to call him Holy Father. And the Bible says there'll be names of blasphemy upon his head, and he has it written right on the stuff he wears.
Yep.
And we got a whole message on that. It says, in the end shall be with a flood, and unto the end the war desolation is determined. We don't have time to get into all that, but we studied that in Revelation 12. So with hindsight and the help of the Holy Spirit, we know what happened. See, we now can look back and see the Bible was 100% correct.
Amen.
And you won't find that in the Quran. You won't find that in the Hindu Vistas or Vishta or Vishu, whatever it's called, the Bhagavad Gita. You won't find it in the writings of Confucius. You won't find it in the writings of the Church Fathers or our Founding Fathers. The Bible is above all the rest. And then we confirm that this is describing what happens after the end of the Church Age by continuing with verse 27, which describes the time of tribulation. It says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. How will you know who the Antichrist is? Will you take his first, his middle, and his last name, and they should be six letters, so it'd be 666, and so it's Henry Kissinger, right? Yeah, that's how they do it. Listen, the Bible gives you one way of knowing who the Antichrist is. You want to know? No. It's the confirmation of the covenant. When he confirms the covenant for 7 years, that's the beginning of the 7-year tribulation, and that's your Antichrist. He's the guy on the white horse who has a bow with no arrows. He comes in peace. Now, the big confirmation will be 3.5 years in, he ceases the sacrifice in the temple in Jerusalem and declares himself God. But you'll know him from the beginning right there in verse 27. How do we know the Antichrist? He shall confirm. Look at the word before covenant. What's that word? Right before covenant. The. Not a covenant. And it doesn't say peace treaty.
Amen.
Almost every prophecy teacher today will call this a peace treaty. The Bible doesn't call it that. I was so ingrained with that that for years I couldn't get myself to stop saying it. Peace treaty, peace treaty. That's not what it is. It's the covenant. Ask Daniel. This is how you read the Bible, folks. Ask Daniel. Daniel, what's the covenant? Daniel's going to give you one answer. The Mosaic Covenant. It's been suspended since Jesus died on the cross. The temple veil was torn. After all these years, the Antichrist is going to confirm the covenant again. Not just with Israel, but with many, the whole world system. And they're going to, part of that is going to be allow Israel to rebuild the temple and have temple sacrifice. Amen.
Amen.
And so that's why in our chart you see this thing here, 69 weeks, and then this is the parenthesis, the church age. That's where we are now. It ends with the rapture, and then sometime after that, the confirmation of the covenant begins the last week, the 70th week. Get that in your head, because less and less teachers are teaching this. We're going into apostasy. We're going into false teaching. We're preparing the way with ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6 says. Amos 8:11 says there's a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord.